Welcome back to the Food Service Distribution Podcast, a show about restaurant distribution, profitability, and the economics that drive the food service distribution industry. I'm your host, David Layton, and today I'm joined by guest Michael Beasley, the General Manager of West Coast Operations for one of the world's largest vertically integrated produce companies. Michael brings a wealth of knowledge of the industry to the show, and he tells us what we can expect in the tomato markets in Q4 2020 and going into the new year. This is a shorter episode, but it's packed full of great information for restaurant owners or distributors, food service professionals, or anybody planning on buying tomatoes in the next 90 days. Without further delay, here's the Q4 2020 tomato market update with guest Michael Beasley. Here we go. We got Michael Beasley on the show today. Michael, how you doing?
Doing well, Dave. How are you?
I'm doing well. Michael Beasley is a general manager of one of the largest produce growers and distributors in North America. Today, for the topic of discussion is going to be tomatoes, because I don't know many restaurants, if any, that don't use tomatoes. So a quick little background on Michael for anybody who doesn't know who he is. I've known Michael for several years. We have several of the same customers and customer groups. He's a wealth of knowledge on the tomato farming process, forecasting, market conditions, the tomato industry as a whole. And I thought it would be a treat to get somebody with this much knowledge onto the show to talk about tomatoes. So, Michael, at a really high level, kind of what do you do for your company and what does your company do in the food service industry?
Yeah, Dave. So I work for a farming company, but we also we're vertically integrated. So we do forward distribution, we do packing like we do for you guys close to source, and then we do processing as well. Specifically, what I handle is the business in the Northwest for the company, as we have an international footprint. But specifically, I manage our facilities and operations from Northern California up into Alaska and anywhere in between. So that, in a nutshell, is what I do. We deal primarily in tomatoes, but every year we add on a little bit more to our offering. And so we grow also quite a bit of veg and a little bit of melons as well. So that's really our bread and butter.
Okay, excellent. Yeah, I was skimming the website, the company website, before we jumped on here, meaning just to talk about peppers and tomatoes and some lettuce, things like that. And I saw, you have dozens of different produce options that you guys sell. So I know from the tomato perspective, you are one of the few companies of your kind that actually owns the whole process from the seed to when it gets to the distributor, and at some points when it gets to the end user. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, definitely. So we have, I couldn't tell you off the top of my head right now, but I believe on staff we have two or three PhDs that actually do breeding for the company. So we have our own proprietary varieties that we grow on our own farms. And we have farms located, southern Florida all the way up the eastern seaboard into Virginia. And then also we have farms in California. And then we will also offer our varieties out to other growers who will grow them for us, and then we'll distribute them through the supply chain. So we do try to control as much of the process as we can from seed to delivery. And we do that for a number of reasons, but the main one being that we try to offer the best product for our customers, 365 days out of the year.
Awesome. Yeah. We've worked with a few different, through my career, I've worked with several different tomato growers, distributors, and I got to say, you guys definitely do live what you just said. Anytime that we've had an issue, and this isn't a commercial for your company, but honestly, every time we've had an issue, you've been able to step up and correct it immediately. So kind of all in that same vein, over the past few weeks, at least on the West Coast, we've seen some tomatoes that were a little bit off because of what we saw with the fires down in California. We see some flooding and some hurricane damage out on the East Coast too. Could you talk a little bit about the current state of the tomato market and the supply and some different effects from a natural disaster to natural causes impact that are on that we're seeing?
Yeah, definitely. And it's kind of the nature of the beast in farming. It's always something, one thing or the other. But right now The California season has come to a close, and usually we would be pulling a good amount of tomatoes out of the Quincy, Florida, or Quincy, Georgia area, and that crop was damaged heavily by storms a couple months ago. So that crop has been devastated, so the supply is lower than normal. And then in California, we did see smoke in the San Joaquin Valley for a significant period of time, which also hurt our yields down in that area. To compound that, we saw extreme heat, obviously, prior to those fires, which caused a lot of bloom drop and for yields to be lower than normal as well. So again, that results in the past 3 weeks of a supply that was lower than normal, a quality that wasn't up to its normal standards. And you got to remember, demand overall was still down, and we still saw that. So, you know, if we'd had normal demand, we would have had extreme market conditions for a time period that normally, you know, is pretty, you know, it's a pretty steady supply during that, you know, beginning of October into September time period usually.
Okay, right. So this time of year, we're closing out California. And usually we would be transitioning over to Florida. What time of year do you guys normally source from Mexico, or are there any other regions in North America that we source from?
Yeah, so Mexico's always going. Right now, the Baja Peninsula is mainly coming on with supply. And you also have a little bit out of eastern Mexico as well. But every year, Mexico grows more and more, and they fill a little bit more of these gaps that we see. So yeah, there's definitely supply coming in out of Mexico right now. And that supply will stay kind of steady for the next 6 to 8 weeks, and then it'll increase drastically to where the majority of your supply will be coming out of Mexico come January, the vast majority.
Okay, right. So come January, vast majority coming out of Mexico. At any point throughout the year, are you sourcing up in my neck of the woods or out of Canada?
So the Canada Protected Agriculture, that winds up right now. You got another maybe week to 2 weeks.
Okay.
And that'll wind way down. And then those boys will get back online in March. And again, that's all stuff that's grown under glass and in a protected environment. But yeah, they're going from usually March until November.
Okay. So Florida, Georgia, Mexico, and California are pretty much the hot spots that you are sourcing from, your company sources from year round, or that your areas you're growing in.
Yeah. Well, that's just for us in the Northwest. We grow in South Carolina. We grow in Virginia. We have local deals also scattered throughout the United States. But when you're talking about heavy supply, California, Florida, Mexico, that's where your heavy supply is coming from. That's truly affecting the markets.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah.
So, other things that have affected the market, I think you and I have talked about this a few times throughout, I guess since March, when you look at the impact that COVID has had on the supply chain, on the farming supply chain, and just the food service supply chain, are you noticing, I guess to take a step back, we're looking at the demand is down. So supply being a little bit down is not a big issue. Are you seeing any other factors that COVID has brought to the table as far as farmers losing labor or issues with labor on the transportation side or anything else that is a strict COVID impact?
Yeah, I mean, I think all of the above, Dave, and probably some things that I can't even speak to that I haven't even thought about. But yes, transportation is more difficult. Yes, labor in the field is more difficult. Yes, labor in the packing houses is more difficult. And yes, it's cost across the board have risen due to COVID because the volume is fallen off. I don't know what other companies are seeing, but we seem to think the food service business is down in the neighborhood of 30% or 40%. And so that's a pretty big number.
Yeah, that's what we're seeing on my side. Most of my customers, depending on what their model is, of course, a lot of the drive-throughs and delivery, or the ones that are set up for drive-through and delivery, are doing exceptionally better than the restaurants where you have to come and sit down. So it's almost a wash, but I would say you're pretty spot on with looking at that 30% down year over year, depending on the model, of course. So
yeah,
anybody that would be tuning into this, I don't know what I'll title this so far. It's probably just going to be, you know, Q3, maybe Q4, tomato price market update. They'll be curious, what are we looking at going into the remainder of the year, maybe into the winter, from a supply standpoint and also from a pricing standpoint? Now, you don't need to give specifics, obviously, but are we probably going up, going down? Is relief on the way? What are you seeing?
I think traditionally, you know, the next 6 weeks, 6 to 8 weeks are the lowest supply for tomatoes in the United States. And I think that we'll probably see that trend continue. You know, will it be the same as last year? I hope not. But again, last year all precipitated from a major weather event in Mexico. So, you know,
could you talk a little bit about that? The major weather event last year in Mexico. I don't mean to cut you off, but that was huge. That was actually something I touched on earlier in the year in the very first tomato market update that I did. And you could probably speak to what happened with the flooding and et cetera better than I could.
Yeah, well, there were numerous weather events that happened, but there was one very severe chain of storms that went over through a couple of days, and it dumped so much water within the growing regions that it just completely wiped out a lot of the crop. And you got to remember, once those floods come in, a lot of that stuff's under shade house. And it's not like you can just dry them out. You know, it's very difficult for them to get dry. They're not made to go through weather events like that. So that really damaged the crop and hurt the supply. So, you know, right now, you know, if you hadn't had those, you probably would have had pretty normal markets. And that's what I'm trying to say now. Like, well, I anticipate normal markets for the time, unless we have a weather event, and then, you know, it's all bets off then.
Okay. Got it. Yeah, I know it's been a huge challenge. It seems like every month we've had something else that's been surprising this year. So I've got my fingers crossed that we'll go into the winter without any major weather events, but that's, like you said, the nature of the beast. We can't really control something that you have to, you know, cultivate over a 6 to 8 week period, hope that there's no surplus of rains or hurricanes or frosts or anything, or fires. I mean, you name it, it
right.
Impacts. Yeah.
Exactly. And the great thing about our company is that we try to stay, our supply chain as diversified as we can. So, you know, once we do have problems in one growing region, we can usually divert to another one to make sure we have a certain supply for all of our customers. So either way, I think we'll be okay through it, Dave. You know, rarely will both regions get completely wiped out. So I think as we're looking now, though, glass half full for this winter ahead of us.
Awesome. All right. Well, we'll keep staying optimistic. I'm eager to see how it pans out. Just to close out here, and you might not have a great answer for this. I know that you're talking to people all over the country, probably all over the globe, as you guys have a global presence, as far as what your resources are. But do you have anything, any websites or marketing materials, anything, any sort of resources that you could recommend restaurant owners, distributors could go look at to try and track pricing or forecasting or anything like that?
You know, the best place you can probably go is just the USDA. You know, they gather information from all over the United States, and, you know, they speak to imports and things of that nature as well. So that's usually the best place to go, and you can look at historical data. I mean, all of those things can be accessed on the government, the USDA website.
Awesome. All right. Yeah. And I'll put a link to that website in the show. It wouldn't be the first time that I've linked to it. It's incredibly helpful. So anybody interested in agriculture and commodities and trying to see what the trends were year over year and what the forecasting is. Again, though, it's all dictated by, you know, trying to think 90 days out into the future and then what the weather's doing, which we all know is fairly impossible. But
oh, yeah.
Awesome. Well, thanks, man. I mean, this is great. Tremendously helpful. I think that if you want to in 90 days or next quarter or sometime, let's connect and do another one of these. If we have a major weather event, I'd love to take, I know people like listening to experts more than they like listening to me just speculate on tomatoes. So I'd love to have you back on.
Yeah, that'd be great, man. And hopefully next time we're on the phone, things are a little bit different in our world.
Yeah, well, we'll try to meet out on a patio at a bar or something like that. I'll come.
Yeah, that'd be nice, man.
Pop down to Portland, grab a beer, talk tomatoes. That'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, that'd be great, man.
Awesome. All right, brother. Well, anybody listening that wants to learn more about tomatoes, produce, the market, anything like that, reach out to me. I can get you in contact with somebody like Michael, somebody at Michael's company, or Michael himself, depending on what your needs are. Michael, thank you so much. I will talk to you later, and I really appreciate your time, man.
Thank you, David. Take care, buddy.
All right, take care.